gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to find bread for these people to eat?" He said to this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not be buying enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Let the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This indeed is a prophet who is coming to the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and make him the king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking down the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land from which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated.
Good morning.
I will warn you that we're going to be in John for the next 5 weeks. And a lot is going to come out of this one chapter. And when I read it to myself, I said, "Oh, my Lord, thank God that at least I get the next week off. The bishop is going to be here and I will preach on this." And then I have 4 more weeks afterward. And the interesting thing about this particular chapter is trying to set it up, trying to set up what will happen in the next 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought I would focus in on the issue of signs. Jesus gave them a sign. And a lot of times a sign is something that we know as currently today. We use for different kinds of things. For instance, a sign will give you an indication, maybe a pointer. You're driving down the road and there's an arrow that says right turn only. That's a sign, right? Or if somebody looks at you and they go like this with their thumbs up, that's a gesture. That's another sign. Hey, you're doing okay. Or if somebody sends you flowers, what kind of sign is that? I remember I was buying flowers one time and the guy says to me in the store, "Is this for maintenance or are you in trouble?" So there's lots of signs that we use, you know, and Jesus has this pattern in this particular Gospel of John that he gives a sign, and he has a dialogue about the sign, and then he has a discussion about it. Because what happens throughout this whole Gospel of John is that they don't get the sign. They get to believe that the sign is the actual message. Jesus is the food, and they follow him for food. Jesus opens the blind eyes and they follow him because they want the eyes of the people who are blind to be seen, to be able to see him. And so what happens is they confuse the sign with the intention of the sign. Now, signs are to lead you into something, to open your eyes to something, to communicate some reality to you that is beyond the sign itself. But what happens is that they keep getting stuck on the sign. And so Jesus has to constantly talk to them and discuss with them what's going on. And what we get today, in this gospel, we get 2 big signs. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 signs, and I know all of you know, right? 7 signs. But they put 2 in this particular Gospel. They put Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then they put Jesus walking on the water. The interesting thing about it, relationships and what the stories are between John and the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Mark, is that they're a little differently used. And in this case, Jesus goes out and feeds the 5,000. Can you imagine Jesus feeding 5,000? Because he goes out and he feeds them. In the other Gospels, Jesus sends his disciples. So there's a little bit of a different use. But basically, you get this kind of mush today where you get these 2 signs, and then one common make him king. In I imagine why they want to make him king. You just fed him, took care of him, put him in a nice rising place, and they want to make him king. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to make him a king if he took care of you in such a way? He provided food, healed you sick, took care of you, got rid of the arthritis on your finger. We might even did that. Mind you all around you, wouldn't you? So the point is that they wanted him for the wrong reasons, and this is the issue today, that we get caught with the sign instead of what the sign implies. And we all know that sometimes you can put your hand before your eyes and block out the sun.
Are you can't see the sun.
Or your eyes before, I can't see the moon. It would block our eyes, and we can see only what we can put what we want to see. And there are many impediments to our seeing. And one of the things is that we cannot see the other side. And so today, Jesus is telling his disciples, there's much more that I'm doing. I'm not just feeding you. I'm not just opening your eyes to the blind. I'm not just walking on water. I'm teaching you about the kingdom of heaven. I want you to see something more than what I'm doing. I am beginning this process in the world that the kingdom of God is now ushering in. Don't get stuck on this. There's much more to come. And so Jesus is trying to teach his people to be able to see beyond, to be able to intuit, to perceive, to be able to imagine the real. Can we do that in our own lives? And I think when I read this, I say to myself, what's the relevance? And I said, my God, we get caught up in today. Don't we get caught up in all kinds of stuff? You know, a little bit of money? I'm set. The 401k is doing pretty good. I don't need to worry about anything else. Heck with the rest of the world. I have my 401k. I get stuck on things like that, right? I have health today. That's what matters. Nothing else matters tomorrow. Forget about exercising. Forget about diet. Forget about good food. Because I'm doing well today. You get stuck at it. Problems around the world. There's all kinds of issues. Have you noticed that this is the hottest year so far? We've had this now, the fourth straight hottest year on record. We look at TV, and I kind of get depressed when I watch TV because I see all kinds of fires. I see volcanoes. I see floods. I see people running from their homes. And I say to myself, oh, my God, what is going on? And I only have about a half hour of news before I get overwhelmed. Are these signs? Maybe so. Do we treat them just like an event that happens today that won't happen tomorrow? That's what we get for, because they will occur over and over again until something is done. We already know that some of the reasons why we have fires is because, you know, we don't have enough rain. We don't have enough rain. People build houses in a forested area. So you have a very predictable kind of situation in which fires will occur. And so the other thing, of course, is that it's climate change. Like, duh, we have climate change all happening all over the world. So instead of just closing our eyes and saying, okay, we'll get over it, why not do something about it? Why not recognize that we are stewards of a world that needs attention? We are on this organic reality that we came from. God folded the earth and made us from the earth. We are part of the earth. We breathe the earth. We are the earth. We are the consciousness of the earth. We need to reflect on what is happening. But instead, we want to continue living in our own lives, privately taking care of ourselves and our little ones, and close our eyes to the bigger picture of what is happening all around us. We are not seeing the signs. You see, and this is where we get trapped. Because we're not living as what we call anthropocentric anymore. It's not about me. It's not about just me. It's about us. This is a world now that we have to look at us as a reality that needs to protect itself and flourish together. Mm-hmm. I cannot be just about me, about my feelings, about my own fears and what I want to make for money, what will be secure in the future. I cannot think like that. We are a one world reality now. We are part of that expanding circle that embraces all the different species and relationships of people that we've got to be concerned about and take care of. This is the warning that's in the world now. It's a warning of scarcity. You know, we're running out of water. You know that topsoils by the billion tons a year are being destroyed. We're destroying our air. The acid rain, the oceans are being completely decimated. The coral reefs. I don't mean to sound like one of those guys, you know, but Jesus, you know, there is a problem here. Right? And what are we going to do? We're going to just go about our lives? I was listening to a report today, and I really got upset because the guy, they were talking about building homes in San Diego. That's a big issue, right? Because a lot of people living homes, they're pretty expensive. So they go to this one demographer at San Diego State, and they tell them, our population is really sick. In California, our population is the lowest it's ever been. And you know that? It's like maybe 19 per something, whatever it is. And so they're saying it's quite low. And so the demographer says, the first thing he says, well, you know, it's important for us to have kids because who's going to pay the taxes? I go, what? Who's going to buy the houses? Who's going to take care of people when I'm old and there's not enough Social Security?
And I said to myself, is that the only important thing you're thinking about money? Is economy trumping ecology? Is money trumping our human reality, our human world and environment? Is that what's important for you, to have money? I said to myself, this guy may be a demographer, but he's not certainly human to me. And you see, this is what we've got to realign our vision. Jesus is about vision making. Jesus is about getting people to become prophetic, to be able to see beyond their specific needs. And so he gave them a sign because it was to open their eyes to something else. But no, they wanted more food, they wanted more care, they wanted him to be a king. And he says, that's not what I came for. That's why he has given. He's come to open our eyes to a reality that really demands our attention. That invites us to take more of life seriously and invest ourselves into a world that is slowly being slaughtered. Slaughtered, I use that word, because the world is being slaughtered. People are being slaughtered. Nations are being slaughtered. Species are being slaughtered. I'm not an environmentalist. I'm a person who's part of this organic reality. And it's my given God reality that I should do something. God says, take care of the world. Take care of the people. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Be alive and be responsible. But no, we're so intent on just being personal and doing the things for my own benefit. And that is the highest expression of selfishness that will lead to destruction. The sign today is open your eyes to see that you are a part of something greater than just yourself.
Amen.
We've got to be able to take that seriously. God's reality is in everything. God's spirit moves in everything and lives in everything, and it becomes real. You can reduce yourself just to eating and sleeping and work and procreating if you are. But then your soul yearns for more meaning. You are made for great visions. All of us, all of you, you're prophetic. You're able to see beyond. That is the beauty of who you are. That you can reason, that you can think, that you can symbolically realize a world in a way that nobody else can. You can make changes. You can change your mind. You can certainly change the way you feel about yourself. So maybe you're stuck in a particular age or an illness or something like that. That does not limit you to be able to do something important and significant in your life. You can work with communities, you can talk to people, you can write, you can do things. You know, on September 8th, there's going to be a march about the environmental issues. And I want to invite us, this time I'm going to step in, and I want to invite us to go together and march. Okay, I'll tell you more about it, I don't have a sermon about that. But, you know, basically I want us to do something. I want us to stand up for something and make a change. Because when you make a change, you realize you can do something. I have done something. And that makes you feel part of something larger. And that validates your power and your meaning and purpose in life. And this is why we have to get involved. Don't get stuck in the sign. Religion is supposed to be a sign to point you to something more than life. But we get stuck in religion, we get stuck in doctrine, we get stuck in dogma, we get stuck in all the things that we've historically thought were the only way to do something. But you know what? The world has changed so fast, we've got to be able to adjust to see what the real meaning is. Where is God? Where is the dynamic of the Holy working? Where is the Spirit moving these days? And how can I get involved? This is what God is asking us to do. Open your eyes, and there are wonders to see. We go sightless among miracles, many of us. Because we're so self-centered in our own lives. To be free, to be happy, needs to step out of that and give yourself to life, give yourself to the world, give yourself to God's reality all around us. That's the only thing that will give you a sense of satisfaction and a sense of peace and wholeness. Not just having money, not just having whatever it is will make you safe and secure. And the gospel says, remember the guy who had this local crop? And he says, I'm going to tear down my crops. Man, I got so much goods. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink, and I'm just going to sit back for the rest of my life. And then God says, you fool, tonight your soul is dead from you. See, any moment our lives are so fragile that no security is ever present for us unless we give it up. We're going to give it to God, give it to the life and service of God and God's people. There is your security. There is your freedom. But to hold it back and to keep private life and protect yourself from all the realities, but to begin to divide yourself from the people and so they're less than you better, these things do not work. They create division in them. And so today, open your eyes. There are really wonders everywhere. Remember the guy that, the woman that wrote every bush is aflame with God, but only he or she who sees will take off their shoes. And I'll throw another one at you since I'm in the glory of you. And it's beautiful because it says, God, if I love you for heaven, never let me set foot in it. If I fear you for hell, burn me 1,000 times over. But if I love you for you, do not deny me your beauty. That's what we have to be. To love because it is just the reward itself. So open your eyes. There's much to do in this world. There's much in your life that you can do and experience. You're not done yet.
Amen. Amen.